like to send thoughts and prayers to the family of Coach Carl Madison. I did have the opportunity to play for him 1 year. It was a very successful year. I guess there's one memory that always sticks out in my mind. We were on the practice field one afternoon, and we were going through the paces, and the thunderstorm rolled up, and it got dark, and the lightning started flashing, and it hit a transformer close to us, and it blew the transformer up. Well, we immediately started running to the locker room, and Coach Carl has called us all back in a way that only he can. He said, "Boys, let me tell you something." He said, "If you see that lightning, you don't have anything to worry about. And the one time you don't see it, you'll never know it anyway. Now run another play." It's a true story.
That's Wes Moreno, the Escambia County Administrator, talking about his experience playing for recently deceased, unfortunately, Coach Carl Madison. And it was a different era, man. It was a different era. And you kind of think maybe we ought to be a little bit more like that these days. Joining us now, Wes Moreno, the Escambia County Administrator. Wes, welcome back to the show, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew. It's good to be here.
Good to be here. Good to have you. I really appreciated your kind of comments about him. And, I mean, how formative for you was it to play for somebody like that and what you learned about? I mean, I can hear echoes even of the, like, your work philosophy. I know it, and it sort of seems like an echo of what, you know, Coach taught you.
Yeah, he was a hard driver, but I think, you know, as I went to the viewing the other day and I looked around, and everywhere I went were – men that played for him as high school athletes, and everyone just sharing stories, sharing good memories, recollections of games, big games. But I think he touched a lot of young men and taught them a good work ethic, taught them character, taught them how to be successful, taught them how to work. And he's had a huge impact on a large demographic of young men in this area.
No, man, I think coaches haven't, an unbelievably powerful capacity to do things for the men that they mentor, and it really is an important thing. Want to talk with you a little bit about Nathan Road, and for the audience, I'm going to play a clip from a guy named Larry Kelly who spoke in open forum. Several people came from Nathan Road. This is just off of Longleaf on the north side there, west of the ball fields, west of the schools. Here's what Larry said.
This right here is Ballpark Water. We're right behind on Nathan Road. When they raised that road up, used to it was down low and it had rock in it, and it would drain. But when they raise that up, they now it just floods right over us.
And I talked to somebody yesterday who's very familiar with that area, and the way it was explained to me is that when Nathan Road was sort of at level and not paved, no water would ever flood east or really much of anywhere down there. There was like one spot that you would ever get water accumulation. But now between that road being paved and the Packer Parkway that runs on the west side of the ball fields behind the houses that are on the east side of Nathan Road, that you basically have like you've created a riverbed between these two roads, and that's a problem. But if you've got the apartments or whatever the development is coming into the north, that's going to impede the ability of water to flow out the north end, which is what it has always done, and you're going to turn it into a lake, so to speak. Have you guys been looking at this? Your thoughts, what the county is doing to alleviate this problem for these folks?
Yeah, we're looking at it. Our engineering department, along with our parks department, actually, is also engaged, and they're looking at it, and they'll work with the developer of the new development coming in, look for opportunities, maybe move some water toward maybe some of their stormwater structure that they're going to be installing. But, yeah, we're going to work together. We're going to look at it. And I know Nathan Road's been – it's been a topic for quite some years, actually. Mm-hmm. You know, before the road was paved, we would get complaints about dust. You know, it's too dusty, or vegetation. Trim the vegetation back, and that would be an issue. So it's been something that's been going on for quite some time. But as far as the stormwater goes, yeah, we're going to continue to look at it, and we're going to work with the folks that live there to see if we can come up with a good solution to make improvements out there. And I'm pretty confident we can accomplish something.
What is the legal requirement? Because I know if you build something, you are obligated to keep all of your water on your property. But what happens when you've got a property to the north that historically, as again, my understanding, has kind of received water from this area? Are they obligated to keep receiving it in their development plans?
Well, they're obligated to not directly impede the flow of water. You can't. The topography naturally runs that way. You can't just dam it up.
Okay.
And you keep it from running that way. So they're going to have to make some sort of accommodation.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I just, it was a, you know, I didn't, I kind of heard what the people talked about, and I listened to them and their concerns about traffic and all that, but the floodwater part of it, I hadn't really understood until I talked to somebody. Like, oh, that is kind of a unique problem. Where today is sound clip day. I have another sound clip for you. Sheriff Chip Simmons was, of course, on the show on Tuesday, and he was talking about the need for a homeless shelter space dashboard in conjunction with the possibility of this law being signed by the governor to provide for overnight camping facilities for the homeless.
We've been pushing a long time for this dashboard to kind of let our deputies know where, so when we get out with somebody, we can say, hey, it looks like there's room in the rescue mission or this other
right.
other you know, mission or other home.
Now, as I recall, I thought we were right on the verge of having this, and maybe we even did have something that was going to simultaneously let people know where there was shelter space, but also help us track how people are moving through our various systems in order to get towards recovery and get out of homelessness. And as far as I know, that doesn't exist. Do you know, I mean, are we going to have something like that? What's the prospect of having that kind of a dashboard?
It actually does. It does exist.
Okay.
I looked it up earlier. It's under the type of homelessness on our Sims County website, and you'll see a link to it. Now the thing is with the dashboard is only good it's only as good as the information that is put in it.
Okay.
And so if you have the nonprofits or community partners, you know, some are all about it, some are kind of leery of it. If they don't put in good information, then you're not going to get good information. But we did go live with that, and actually that was actually an initiative of Chip and Michelle Salzman.
Right.
I met with Chip over at the Sheriff's Department one day, and she was there, and that's what they asked for. I said, sure, man, we'll be happy to do that.
Okay.
And we did. Now, how many people are actually using it and putting in good numbers? That's something that we may need to look at.
Well, in real time as we're talking, I'm trying to find it. I can't find it. So it might just be a little obscure in terms of listing. Maybe at the community shelter and food dashboard. Maybe this is it. Okay, I'm pulling it up now, so I'm not quite sure if this is everything that Chip had wanted, or as you say, it's very much going to depend on how much the information is up to date and whether it's today's information or last year's information, right? So,
right.
Okay, so this says, like, for example, it does have a location on here. It's got last updated March 5th, so some people are actually updating it. Okay, all right. Well, my mistake. I didn't think it was current, and, you know, I have to talk to Chip and see if they're familiar with, you know, kind of how that's being used. One of the other things so thank you for correcting me on that. I'm glad to find out that it does exist. One of the things I had wanted to ask you about was the 911 calls information, something you and I and Eric Gilmore, the Director of Public Safety, have talked about many times. But you guys are actively in an information campaign to try to get people to know when and when not to call 911, right?
Yeah, that's right. We put some information out, and you know, you have people call, hey, my prescription's run out, I need a prescription, or I need a ride to the hospital, because they think if they ride in an ambulance to the hospital, they'll get right in. They won't have to wait in the emergency room. That's not necessarily the case. You know, if you're critical, you've got a heart attack, a stroke, or something really, really bad like that, sure, you'll get right in. But if you got a sore toe, and yes, they do call ambulances for sore toes, or you got a cough, or you got what have you, you know, that's tying up resources, and you're going to go to the emergency room, you're going to sit like everybody else. And so we're trying to educate the public as to which, when you should call, once you not call, and what are your options if you don't call ambulance. You know, you got your urgent care, you got your primary doctors, and those sorts of things. So it's just an information campaign to try to reduce the amount of unnecessary calls and tying up our resources.
At which, you know, I'm fully on board with that. You've also got a Hurricane event coming up in June. What's that all about?
So they're just reaching out to young ladies in seventh, eighth, and ninth grade from June the 25th to the 28th. We're going to run a camp to expose those young ladies to everything emergency management and emergency preparedness, kind of behind the scenes, all the things that take place to be successful in that field, and just to give them some exposure in everything that goes on behind the scenes, if you will, in emergency management, and just kind of give them some exposure to that education and that field of work, and see, you never know, they may take up on some of it.
Yeah, no, that sounds like a really cool thing coming up. So that'll be in June. I'm sure we'll get more information as we get a little bit closer to it. I did, just as a follow-up on the shelter thing, it's a very useful website in terms of shelter data, but as you said, the challenge is apparently people are sometimes very vigilant. Like, there's some data that was updated yesterday and sometimes not. And so it might be that the action item is to maybe, you know, reconnect with some of these partner agencies and see if we can't, you know, inspire them to be more diligent about the inputting of the data, which I know takes, you know, time and resource and all of that kind of stuff. Wes Moreno, he is the Escambia County Administrator. Wes, as always, thank you for the time. Thanks for doing what you do to organize what happens in the county, man. I appreciate it. It's hard work, and I appreciate that you do it.
All right. Thank you, Andrew. See you.